Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll pick it up at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. We're talking about some of the things that I want to remind you about this God, the Holy Spirit, because we had a kind of a distorted view of Him. He is God. He is the sovereign God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 15. God the Holy Spirit has power. His power is called enablement, the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. And He is able to remove the barrier to salvation for those who do not believe in Christ. He has a ministry to unbelievers as well as to believers. And He has the power to remove the barrier that hinders salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, and this is a reference to the Torah, Jewish people have a thing called the Torah, and it is the first five books of the Bible, the books that Moses wrote. What do? They ignore the rest of the Bible, but they focus on the Torah. And in temple, the Torah is read. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the hearts of Jewish people who do not believe in Christ. There are Jewish people who believe in Christ. They are Jewish, a specialized racial species, and they are believers in Christ. They are called Messianic Jews, and they are the outcasts of the Jewish race. But they believe in Christ, and they will be in heaven. Because being Jewish is racial, not spiritual. In Romans chapter 9, I think it's verse 6, Paul, who was a Jew and a Roman, it didn't get any better than that, a Roman citizen and a Jew, said, all Israel is not Israel. All racial Jews are not spiritual Jews. So that's what's being referenced here. And when we talk about the veil here, in the temple, there were sections of it, and the sections of the temple taught the plan of God. There was the entrance, which taught salvation. There was the main area, which taught the Christian way of life, and then there was a veil. And behind the veil was the Holy of Holies. And the only person who could walk into the Holy of Holies once a year with blood were the Levitical priests. And anybody else who walked into the Holy of Holies would drop dead at that moment. Because you had to be dead to be in the Holy of Holies, which was the equivalent of heaven. And so there were a lot of people who tried it. They walked through the veil, and they died. As a matter of fact, when I was visiting Jerusalem for the first time, I was taken there by a guy who is from Jerusalem. And he was touring me around Solomon's temple. And there was a big area with a lot of concrete torn up and a big fence around it. And I asked him, what is that? He said, oh, I can't do Jewish accent because it'll just come out Japanese, so I'll just tell it to you straight. But tomorrow I'm leaving for Frankfurt, and there are about 15 Israelis in my class, and I absolutely love the Israelis because they are so focused, so driven, and so serious. And so this guy goes into his serious mode, and he says, in the Jewish temple, okay, it's Japanese. In the Jewish temple, this was the Holy of Holies. And if you walked into that area, you would die. So we have a fence around it. Okay, well, that was true in the age of Israel. That is not true in the church age. So if I hopped that fence and walked in that area, nothing's going to happen. So I listened to him with the respect and the reverence that his commentary deserved. I was hanging on every word. His son was there. He was hanging on every word. And then we walked down the road. And I said, I have a question. He said, what's the question? I said, who's the dumbass you got to put the fence up? I mean, how'd that guy do that without dying, right? his head snapped around. And that's the privilege you get of being in my company. Always asking the tough question. So to this day, whenever Moses, the Torah, is read, a veil lies over the hearts of unregenerate Jews. 2 Corinthians 3:16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the veil is taken away. What does that mean? What does that mean to you, church age believers in Christ? That means that you have bold access directly into the Holy of Holies. That means at the moment of salvation, you're placed in union with Christ and you are seated at the right hand of God the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you're in union with. And there is no more veil. The cross tore down the veil. God the Holy Spirit was the one who was responsible for the removal of the veil. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is God the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we believers in Christ all, now with an unveiled face, beholding, seeing, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image as God, from the source of glory to reflected glory, just as from the Lord, God the Holy Spirit. What is God the Holy Spirit doing with you? He is indwelling you so that you have indwelling you the source of glory, and he is going to produce in you the reflection of that glory. You see, a son ought to be a reflection of his father. The father pours himself into the son, and then the son reflects the things that the father has taught. Daughters ought to be a reflection of their moms for the very same reason. If you see a difference, something happened. Children ought to reflect the training of their parents. And if you see a difference, something happened. They are not reflecting the glory of the parent. Well, here's what we're supposed to do. We have God inside of us, God the Holy Spirit, who is going to produce the reflection of the very image of God through us. So when people look at us, people are around us, they should experience something different. They should say, there's something about that guy. There's something about that lady that's just different. And that's exactly what they experience if we're living the Zoe life. If we're in the Zoe life and living the old man life, they don't see that. They see exactly the opposite and a much worse version of the old man life. I would rather have an unbeliever as a friend than to have a believer who is committed to living the old man life as a friend. Because unbelievers are simple units. They are not confused. They're in one program and that's it. Believers who are the new one new man trying to live the old life, they're confused. You can't do it. You can't succeed with that life. Well, our God, the Holy Spirit, is sovereign. God, the Holy Spirit, has ministries to you, 10 of them, to unbelievers. And I won't go through these, but these notes are posted online immediately after the lesson. And so you can go and look up these verses for yourself. But God the Holy Spirit has 10 ministries, 2 to unbelievers. The convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He convicts unbelievers concerning the 3 issues of salvation: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, meaning you're a sinner and need a Savior. Righteousness, admission ticket to heaven is absolute righteousness, and it is imputed to you at the moment you believe in Christ. And there will be an evaluation. You will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, either at the last judgment for unbelievers or at the great, which is called the Great White Throne Judgment, or at the Bema Seat Judgment for believers, where we get rewards. So he has a convicting ministry. There is nobody on this planet, anywhere, that hasn't heard of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but what about the little children in the middle of Africa? They've heard of Jesus Christ. I've met a lot of children from the middle of Africa. They absolutely know who Jesus Christ is. Why? Because there's this thing called missionary activity. and missionaries go there and tell them about it. Restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He keeps us from destroying ourselves. And he keeps Satan from destroying us. To believers, the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5, Ephesians 4:5, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The only baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is dead. When I was in Israel, there you can go down to the Jordan River to the exact spot where John the Baptist was and where Jesus was baptized as part of relating to the age of Israel. And I don't know how much, I don't remember, I think it was $50 or something. You put on this white robe and get dunked in the Jordan. It's pretty cool, actually. But doesn't mean anything. The only thing that means anything is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what is that? When the Holy Spirit places you as a believer in Christ in union with Christ, when you express faith alone in Christ alone. Regeneration, Titus 3:5. You are born again. You move from spiritual death to spiritual life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of God the Holy Spirit? The sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit. If you've ever, some of you ladies may know this, if you've ever sent a letter and used sealing wax on the back of the letter. I mean, if you're a guy and you've done that, see me after class. But ladies sometimes do that. You know, they perfume up the letter and they put this wax on it and then they have this little thing and they seal it. Well, in the time the Bible was written, that was something that guaranteed your signature. The sealing ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, is his signature guarantee that you're saved once and for all time, and he will never let you lose it. Efficacious grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace we are saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and that faith, grace, and salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is efficacious grace? When you express faith alone in Christ alone. I believe in Christ. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God the Holy Spirit takes that positive volition and makes it effective for salvation. God the Holy Spirit gives believers spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:11. Then after salvation, it's the filling of the Spirit, or as we say, in the Spirit, in pneumati, Philippians 3:3. And it is the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit, John 16:13. So we've learned that, and we'll learn it again. But God the Holy Spirit has 10 ministries to us. He is God. He's pretty important. He's the sovereign God, and he has ministries to us. God the Holy Spirit acts on us. God the Holy Spirit acts on us. What does that mean? First, it means that God the Holy Spirit teaches us. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, the helper, the paraclete, the one who comes powerfully to our assistance, God the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father will send in my name, the Lord Jesus Christ's name, he will teach you the all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. God the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you what this means and then to bring it to your remembrance when you're under pressure. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, I, Paul, too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you, and having heard of your love for all the saints. What's a saint? Any believer in Christ. Ephesians 1:16. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. He teaches you. That's the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us wisdom. God, the Holy Spirit, discourages sinning. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. God, the Holy Spirit, discourages sinning. There's a great comedy club here called the Tempe Improv. And in the very beginning, they play a video. And the video says, okay, let me tell you what your job is. First of all, turn off your cell phones. Second thing is, here's your job after you turn off your cell phones. Laugh, shut up, laugh, shut up, Laugh, shut up. Don't talk. Oh, you don't like that? That's because you were going to talk. Great video. Well, very much the same thing here. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. God the Holy Spirit discourages us from sinning. Oh, you don't like that? That's because you were going to sin. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren means believers in Christ. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, not to the old man, the old self, the sin nature, to live according to the flesh. Why? Because we're believers in Christ. Romans 8:13. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. Right? The old man was crucified at the cross, is dead. But if by the Spirit you live, by God the Holy Spirit you live, first class condition if in the Greek, and you do, believers, you are putting to death the deeds of the body. You stop sinning. You want to stop sinning. It doesn't mean you do stop sinning. You want to stop sinning. You start making better choices, and you will live the resurrection life. What does it mean to stop sinning? What it means is if you turn on the gas on your stove and you put your hand in it and you get burned, you let it register in your head that every time I put my hand in the fire, it get burned. Tell me one of your sins that succeeded. They never succeed. They're like fire, so don't put your hand in the fire is what's being said here. And God the Holy Spirit is the one who encourages you to do that because you have nothing inside of you that wants to stop sinning. That wants to stop believing that sins are harmful. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, our mentor, these are the sons of God. If God the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, you're a son of God. Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. When you were an unbeliever, you were a slave to the old man and a slave to the old self. But as the one new man, you are not a slave. You are not to be afraid, but you received a spirit of adoption as adult sons. What does that mean? In Rome, if your child was a goof, you could adopt an adult to leave your inheritance to. There are a lot of parents that smile just now. Can we bring that back? So that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He adopted us as sons, adult sons. And we have no choice but to do what? To scream, Daddy! Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit of God himself then testifies with our human spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:17. And if we are children, and we are heirs also, heirs of God the Father, and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with Christ, and we do, so that we may also be glorified with him. God the Holy Spirit is the head of our spiritual lives. God the Holy Spirit is active against anyone or anything that's out to hurt us. Galatians 5:16. I say, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Listen to the Holy Spirit and you won't listen to the old man. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit sets its desire against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Here's what that means. You're indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, and he knows that you also have a sin nature in the cell structure of your body, and that it is encouraging you to do the wrong thing. God the Holy Spirit is making war against that. He does not want to allow you to hurt yourself. But we're led to believe that he's some inactive, impersonal force. That sounds pretty personal to me. Galatians 5:18, but if you believers in Christ are led by the God, the Holy Spirit, and you are, then you're not under the Mosaic law. You're not under the Old Testament. You're not under the old rules that died at the cross. Jesus Christ fulfilled it at the cross. God, the Holy Spirit's actions on your behalf are not conditional. You remember what Mormon.org said? Conditional? Okay, Hebrews 10:16 says, no, this is a covenant. Covenants are not conditional. This is a covenant that I, God, the Holy Spirit, will make with them after those days, says the Lord. And by the way, This is in the Old Testament. That's why it's in caps. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. And he then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds, I, God the Holy Spirit, will remember no more. God the Holy Spirit is not focused on your sins. God the Holy Spirit is focused on teaching you how to glorify Christ, teaching you the truth, guiding you into all the truth. So who is this God the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit is God. God the Holy Spirit is sovereign. God the Holy Spirit has 10 ministries to serve you. God the Holy Spirit acts on you and is very active in your life. God the Holy Spirit is not conditional. He's permanent. Closing, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, just as it is written. This should really give you goosebumps. Think about this, just as it is written, things that your eye has not seen, things that your ear has not heard, things which have not entered into your heart, the mentality. What are those things? All that God has prepared for those who love him. You love him. If you're a believer in Christ, you love him. And what this is telling you is this, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't even heard it. You can't even imagine it. What God has prepared for those who love him. Yeah, we'll go home today and we'll be biting our knuckles, biting our nails. You gonna come back to the homecoming? God willing. And I don't know if you would be able to provide me with another trip back here. I'd like to. But he says here, you haven't even thought about what I've thought about on your behalf. So can you just imagine that if you can't imagine it, can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? Place of no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. A place exceeding abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. That's your destiny, Christian. So ladies, when you get up tomorrow and you go to the mirror and you look in there and you go, oh, God. Oh, God, I look horrible. Oh, I got a pimple. Can I cover that up? Just remember this. You ain't seen nothing yet. You can't even imagine how wonderful it all is, these things that God has planned for you. You notice I'm not talking to the guys? Right, the guys ain't even thinking about, oh, pimple, that look good. How's my breath? It's good, I don't need a brush. So I'm not even going to bother with the guys. We have a lot to learn about exactly what it means to be in pneumati, in the Spirit. And little of what we learn has anything to do with what we do, but it has everything to do with God, what God has done in the past for us as an established and irrevocable fact, and which he will keep on doing for all eternity. Let's close with a song, Come See a Man. I didn't do that verse, so I'll do that while she's walking up here. Come on. For to us believers in Christ, God the Father revealed all of these things, all of this depth through God the Holy Spirit, for God the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. God the Holy Spirit is going to slowly reveal to you all the things that you can't even imagine that he's planned for you. Ready to close? Yep. Tell them about my best friend.
My best friend.
His name is?
Jesus.
Yeah.
was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the woman at the well who spoke to Jesus, alone looking for a drink. I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. Alone, I will proclaim this invitation to the world, to all I know, and I will sing, come see a man who knows all about me, who knows what I'm doing, and the in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation. From the power of sin and death, I have been free. And all the guilt and shame I carry from my past was nailed with Christ to the tree. And he was faithful just to allow as part of his master plan. And he's not ashamed of me. I am his child. He calls me his own. And I belong to my beloved Savior, and from him I will never ever roam. And I'm telling you that I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done, and the love that I need. I know a man that thank you.
Thank you, June. I'm confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation of you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. So don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious toward wrongdoers. They will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you very much for making us one new man. Thank you for placing us, believers in Christ, in a state of unity. And thank you for giving us your Spirit to lead us into all the truth. And I pray that everyone who is at the other end of this message will put their egos aside and will open up and embrace the truth as you present it from your mind, through the authors of Scripture and the mind of Christ. Help us to understand that these are just not fictional stories, but your exact thoughts, and that you inspired and God breathed those thoughts into human authors so they wrote down exactly what you wanted to convey to the creatures that you love unconditionally. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so what we're going to do next, you're going to get a break, a 10-minute break. We've got the announcements, offering, the Lord's Supper, and then we close with a presentation that was done for us by Debbie Kramer, where you get to see your mugs. It's awesome. So I think you'll like that, and we will be closing by noon, just as promised. So take your 10-minute break, and we'll see you back here shortly.